God's word, God's written word, that is. Part of the Bible, the New Testament, in its entirety, offered to you quite freely, without any cost or any obligation to you. If you'd like one, you feel free to come and ask for one, gladly place into your hand. Without knowledge, it's impossible for a person to come to a true knowledge of God, and of course to salvation, forgiveness, reconciliation to God. That knowledge, of course, is to be found nowhere else but in God's Word, the Bible, which of course does inform us, tell us that that people perish for want of knowledge, because they don't know, because they're born and they live and die in ignorance and don't know the truth, and of course do not come to know God or His salvation. So it's important that you be informed, that at least you know, you have the information, the necessary information, the truth that is, that God Himself has revealed to us. This word, the Bible. If you'd like a copy of God's word, then feel free to come and ask for one. It has the ability, as it says itself, to make a body wise unto salvation. Not the wisdom of this world, of course, that as we can plainly see, surely even the blind can see that leads only to destruction, chaos, confusion, and destruction. Only the wisdom of God leads to the salvation of God. I see you'd like a copy of God's word. I do feel free to come and ask for one. If you want to join our catechism class for today, you're welcome to do so. Questions are gladly taken. That is, if you're willing to wait for an answer, or if you just want to argue, well, I'm not here for that. The Bible, of course, informs us as to the person of God, what He is like. Not the figment of men's imaginations, and not that which many people in your world over today, sex cults, world religions, call God. But God is as He has revealed Himself in His Word in the Bible. And of course revealed also yourself and myself, what we are truly like. Not the good people that we imagine ourselves to be. Not the sweet, kind people whom we think that the world should revolve around. No, the very opposite, the very contrary. There is none good, says God, and there is none that doeth good. And of course, the reason why, well, you need God's salvation. But the Bible, of course, tells us not just about God's creation, how He made everything by the word of His power, brought everything into being, and of course gives no place, excludes totally and completely any thought of evolution. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth and everything therein. And then, of course, the Bible tells us about God's working in providence, how He not only created, but how He is involved in and how He preserves His creation, including, of course, mankind. We are all of us completely and utterly dependent upon God day by day for the food on your table, for the air that you breathe. If there was no God, as some foolish, what God calls them, foolish people say, well then would not, if that were true, you would not be able to think, breathe. You would not be able even to exist or even have a meaningful thought. No, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. And the wisdom of God, of course, is that all the knowledge and wisdom of God is found in His Son, Jesus Christ, sent into the world, that is to be a Savior. Christ Jesus came into the world, the Bible says, not to necessarily make us happy, He does that, not necessarily to give us all the good things that we want and desire, but He came into the world specifically and purposely to save sinners, men and women who have sinned and come short of the glory of God. But then, of course, that raises the question, what is sin? The Bible says sin is transgression of the law. Any want of, you might say, conformity unto and transgression of any of the law of God that He has given to His rational creatures. You see, in the beginning, God made man upright, perfectly righteous, with a true knowledge of God and holiness. In other words, in the likeness of God. But then when sin came into the world, that which is not conformed to God's law, God's desire, God's character, the very opposite, sin, by not just the first man, but the head of the human race. Adam, his name was. God tells us he sinned and he brought sin into the world, and through sin came death, and of course, all the ugly, all the deformities, deviances that have come to us and are coming to us even today. All the bad stuff that we are constantly complaining about day by day, it all comes out of the one and the same source, out of man's sin, his rebellion against God. And it's this, of course, that God has against us, and why, of course, we need the only one who can save us from our sins. The one appointed of God, anointed of God, His only begotten Son sent into the world in order through faith in His name that we might be saved, reconciled to God, brought back to God from that dark path of sin, from the ugliness, from everything that destroys and spoils a man or woman's life, and brings them back to that place. Well, a better place, I tell you, even, that Adam first knew before he sinned, brought back to the likeness of God. You see, this is what sin is. Transgression of the law, God's law, not the law of the state. But of course, a lack of conformity to even to the likeness of God, that likeness in which man was first made. Now that's gone, now that's trashed. Now in the likeness of something or someone else, maybe the devil even, enemy of God, the one who tempted our first parents, and through whom, of course, sin was brought into the world. But that image of God in which man was made, a beautiful image, I tell you. Oh, sweet, wanting for nothing, happiness, no misery, no discontent there. That all came by sin, transgression of the law of God. And of course, we live that way now, day by day. Unless, of course, God's grace has intervened, has brought us to a knowledge of Himself and to His salvation. Well, we live day by day in that state. In fact, God says it goes much, much, much deeper than our doing. You know, our actual transgressions of God's law are much deeper than that. The very root of your being. It's the root, you see, that's bad. Conceived as God in sin, what the Bible calls original sin. The original sin was Adam, who's also yours too. You see, it passes on by natural generation, from one generation to another. sinful parents get children in their own likeness, their own sinful likeness, so that God can say, you see, that all have sinned and come short of His glory. So conceived, you see, in your mother's womb, that's where your sin begins. That's where your trouble, that's where your lack of conformity to God begins. You're conceived that way in a lack of conformity to the likeness of God. Conceived in your mother's womb, ping, just at that very moment of conception, that's where your sin career began. And you're born 9 months later, and you live. What's the first thing that you do? The moment you're born, what's the first thing that any man, woman, born into this world does? First thing that you do is you howl and you cry, and you never stop doing that till the day that you die. Because of sin, my friends, conceived in sin, live in it in misery and die in it. But for the grace of God in His wonderful salvation through His Son, Jesus Christ. So not only conceived in sin, but born in it. And then, of course, out of that nature comes quite naturally, well, you live according to your nature. You live according to your nature. And if your nature is a sinful nature, well, what will come out of it? Nothing but sin. And so you live day by day in actual sin, in actual transgressions, actually breaking God's law. So, you see, my friends, a want of conformity to God, to His will, to His character, it will reveal to us what God is like, holy. The thrice holy God He is termed as in the Bible, and tells us, assures us, that without holiness no one shall ever see Him. So you see, unless we in our natures are made holy, unless that is the rootest change. So you see, we're talking here more than just simply a person becoming religious or paying lip service to some kind of religion. We're talking in terms of, well, as Jesus puts it in John's Gospel, He says, you must be born again. If the fruit of the tree is to be good, well, you have to make the root of the tree good, Jesus said. So you want to make the man good, you want to bring good fruit out of the man or woman, well, you've got to make the root good, you've got to change the root, you've got to change the nature, so that out of the nature comes good fruit instead of bad fruit. Instead of sin comes a life of holiness. That comes about, you see, by a person being changed by the grace of God. And when Jesus talks about a man being born again, he's not, as well, one theologian in Israel thought, you know, returning to your mother's womb and being born again physically and naturally. No, he's talking about being born again supernaturally. That is, God in His grace and kindness coming to a man, to a woman, via, I might say, the preaching of the gospel. That's the means by which God makes Himself known. Foolishness to those who are perishing, He says, but the power of God for those who are being saved. Through, via the preaching of the gospel, God, He comes and He enlightens men and women, brings them to a knowledge of Himself. He puts His life into their soul and His love into their heart. And then you see, from that point forward, well, they begin to operate in the way that, well, they always should have been operating. See, God demands of every human being ever made and brought into this world, the one demand of God is that you should love Him, obey Him. And to obey Him means to love Him with all your heart, soul, strength, and mind. That's the fulfillment of the law. Not to love God is a want of conformity to God and to His holy will and character. That's what sin is. of course, to love God, well, then you, when you love God, you live according to His law, according to His commandments. You do the things that He says. You keep His law instead of trashing it day by day, underfoot, blasphemy, adultery, killing by means of abortion, euthanasia, everything else in between. The taking, the illegal, illicit taking of human life. Murder in the eyes of God. So you see, my friends, this lack of conformity, well, it's cured. You see, the remedy comes by a man or woman being, as I say, born again. It's the work of God's grace. Born of God is how Jesus puts it. Not of man, not of the will of the flesh, not of blood, but of God. It's God who does it. God must do it. So that leaves you see, totally and completely shut up to God unless He moves, unless He chooses to reveal Himself in His grace through the preaching of the gospel. Of course, He does that the world over, doing that today in many far-flung places. Not so much in England today because, well, England's, the tide has gone out in England. And now, of course, you're left with the old paganism. England's glory has gone because the tide of the gospel has gone out. And you're left with nothing but what you had before. And what was that? A dose of old-fashioned paganism. Hating God and hating one another. Until the roots change, you see. Until the natures change. You can't get anything else, you know. Just the natural, you know. Well, dare I say, just like a brute beast, you know. You get up in the morning and you think, what will I wear today? What will I eat today? But you never get past that, you know. You never get beyond that. You never get to the place, you know, where before your feet hit the floor, you say, how can I glorify God today? That doesn't even come into the equation. Because there's no spiritual life in you. Hey, there's a...
I got a Bible. You want a Bible? I got a New Testament, not the New Testament. It's not a better one.
Like I say, you see, it's something that God in His grace does, you see, marvelously, supernaturally, I have to say, over against, you see, just the religious practice. You know, you maybe heard the words before, you know, I've quoted them many times before from the Bible, the fool has said in his heart there is no God. Those words in the beginning were spoken to religious people. And you got an abundance of them in England today, religious people, you know, who claim, who confess God, you know, but they live as if there was no God. Huh? They blaspheme His name. They go to church on Sunday. They go to the mosque on Saturday. And they come out blaspheming God's name, cursing His Son, and hating one another. You know? And they confess God's name. The fool says God. Says in his heart, there is no God. What's in the heart comes out, you see. This is what sin is. Was it out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh, says Jesus. What's in your heart, what will come out your mouth, come out your life. You got to make the heart good. The heart is deceitful above all things, and desperately wicked. Out of the heart proceeds evil thoughts, murder, fornication, immorality of all kinds, theft, blasphemy. Out of the heart, religious hearts, yeah? And non-religious hearts. What comes pouring out of your heart is nothing but sin. That's how you see it. Like I say, religion don't cut it. Religion don't change nobody. You can go to church all your life there, people sitting in churches Sunday after Sunday in this country of yours. They've never done anything else since they were children. It's just a habit. It's just a religious tradition. They don't believe, many of them. I'll say in all, they don't believe. They live like cats and dogs during the week and go to church on Sunday. Oh, I say my prayers every night. They say, so what? Except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. He must be born again. That's the only cure. And God has it. And God's the one who distributes it. God's the one in control of it, not you. Your place, your need is to, well, is to cry out to him that you might be born again. That he might come to you and grant you that pardon that you need. Grant you that new life that you desperately need. Because until he conforms you again via being born again, until he conforms you to his likeness, you remain in your sinful state and condition, lost, undone, ruined by sin. And my friends, without hope in this world and in the world to come. Jesus, my friends, he's the one, and he's the only one who can do it, sent into the world for that reason, that purpose. Why? I preach to you him, not church, not religiosity, but Jesus Christ. Him crucified, dead, buried, and raised again from the dead, and lives forevermore, and saves to the uttermost all those who come to God by him, because you can't come to God in any other way, any other name. And my friends, you have no access to God but by any other name. Not Muhammad, not Allah, not Confucius, not Buddha, not the Pope of Rome, but Jesus Christ, who says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. No one has access to God. And no one, my friends, gets right with God but by him. He's the one that you must go to. So sin you see is a lack of conformity to God, to the likeness of God, and not conformed, of course, to the law of God. Some that is in the Ten Commandments, you know. And thou shalt have no other gods before me. Not the gods of the heathen, but the God of the Bible, the living and true God, who made heaven and earth and everything in it. And the one, my friends, who made you and has a rightful sovereign claim over your life, over your entire being. In him you live and move and have your being. God over all. His commandments. Thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not covet, thou shalt not bear false testimony, lying, you know, not telling the truth. So you see, my friend, we met a guy yesterday in Walsall declaring, telling us, he said that he had never, in all his life, he had never, ever told a lie. We said he was a liar. And so he is. God says, all men are liars. All men, yourself and myself included. So those commandments, you see, they're just a summary, if you like, of God's law. And of course, Jesus, well, he sums it up in even shorter terms in the New Testament. The sum of God's law is, he says, that you should love God with all your heart, strength, soul, strength, and mind, and love your neighbor as yourself. Love your neighbor. Anyone whom God brings across your pathway, to love your neighbor as you love yourself. Yeah? So you see, my friends, that's the sum and substance of God's law. But of course, you can't do that. You haven't got the ability. You haven't got the will to do that. You haven't got the desire even to do those things. The very opposite, my friends. With a sinful nature, the only will and desire The only freedom you have is to obey that sinful nature, is to live out of that sinful nature contrary to the law of God. Constantly, every day and every moment of your life, unless by the grace of God He changes your heart, you see. Because when He changes, with that miracle of God's grace, there comes a change in all these departments, a change of the will. In the day of God's power, you see, made willing to come to and put your trust in Jesus Christ. Ye are not willing to come to me, He said, that you might have life. Oh, there's life to be had, eternal, everlasting life, abundance of life to be had in Jesus Christ. But He says, that's not the problem. The problem is you're not willing to come to me that you might have it. It's the will, the problem of the human will. But you see, in the day of God's power, by the new birth, being born again, the miracle of God's grace, a man or woman is brought to that place of being willing, I say more than willing, to come to Jesus and get that life that's presented to them. No will, no desire. The only desire, my friends, is for the things of the flesh. The sinful flesh, that is. The sinful nature, that's the only desire. Not for heavenly things, not for God, not for eternal life, not for heaven. Oh, my friends, the very opposite. Just for the rubbish and garbage of human sin. In that swamp, my friends, in which we all find ourselves, the entire human race is like a swamp full of all the garbage of human sin. But you see what men and women in the blindness of their sin don't realize, at the end of the swamp, my friends, there's a great big precipice. And at the end of your earthly existence, you go over the edge and you fall into eternal damnation. That's the end of the swamp. That's the end of human sin. That's the end, my friend, of what the Bible calls sin. So my friends, you see, you need Jesus. You need Jesus. Change your nature, change your heart, change your will, change your desire. I come to you in the swamp, you know, of the filth and mire of human sin. I call you out of it. I tell you repent. I tell you believe. I tell you get out of the swamp. And what do? You stick your fingers in your ears. We don't want to hear this, you see. Get out of here. Get out of here. Shut that preacher up. We don't want to hear him. Because you love the swamp. You love the mire. You love the filth and muck of sin. That's your only desire. No desire for God. For by the miracle of God's grace, a man or woman's desires have changed. To desire what they once hated, and to hate what they once desired, God is able to turn the ship around. And instead of hating God and hating your neighbor, you love God and love your neighbor. Instead of loving the sin and the muck and mire of sin, you hate it. You agree with God, who says, do not do the thing that I hate, sin. God hates sin, my friend. He hates sin. And if you are sin, well then I guess that must mean that He hates you. That must mean that He hates you. He hates the wicked. He hates those who take innocent life. Oh yes, it may surprise you, maybe you've been told on many, many occasions before by false and even by foolish preachers that God loves everybody. No, my friend, God hates sin. Oh, but you see, yes, He hates the sin, but He loves the sinner. No, sin is what a sinner is, and God hates sin. You do not come to know. You come, do not come to experience. You do not come to be a recipient of God's love until you have repented of your sin and believed on the Lord Jesus Christ, His Son, and been delivered from His hatred of sin and delivered from the consequences of your sin. So what is sin? Well, my friends, sinner without doing anything at all, a sinner by nature, and then a sinner by practice, transgression of the law, lawlessness, you know. Oh, maybe perhaps you think today things are pretty lawless now. I mean, look at North America, all the insurrection there. Lawlessness was abounding for a time. People's property were being damaged. People were being killed because of all the insurrection, all the trouble there in North America. Maybe perhaps you would think to yourself, that must be awful, living in such conditions as that. Nothing, my friend, nothing, I tell you. Only a taste of what it was like back in the days of Noah, when God flooded the world in judgment. Only a taste of what it was like in places like Sodom and Gomorrah before God rained down brimstone and ashes upon them in judgment because of their wickedness, their lawlessness. And then, my friend, all the Bible tells me at the end, towards the end, before God brings a conclusion to this world scene as we know it now, everything God's word says to be this present world to be dissolved in fervent heat, and a new heaven and a new earth wherein dwells only righteousness shall be produced and provided by God. So my friends, you see, lawlessness will abound and the love of many will wax cold because of that lawlessness that you shall be at the end. Oh, days just like they were, says Jesus, just as it was in the days of Noah, lawlessness, wickedness, so shall it be, he says, when he returns. Lawlessness, that's what sin is, my friend. And it grows, it multiplies. It's an organic reality. It's growing all the time until you see the cup is filled up and up and up until it comes to the brim, and then comes the judgment. God says enough, and he falls in judgment. And of course, he's already judging your sin in many different ways. In this world today, God is judging sin. The very pandemic, the very virus that's amongst you just now is a judgment upon your unbelief, upon the wickedness of your sin. And I tell you, it's not the scientists, it's not the vaccine that will take it away. Only God will take it away. He sent it, he brought it, and he'll take it away when it's done his work. And not until. Oh, you see, my friends, judgments are replete, tsunamis, earthquakes, storms, car accidents, many, many ways, my friends, by which God judges individuals, communities, nations, brings his hand down heavily upon them because of the unbelief, because of the lawlessness, because of the wickedness, because of the sin. But each and every one of them, every judgment that falls upon you, whether it's personal or whether it's national, every act of judgment, my friends, is a forerunner, is a taste, is a warning of the big one to come at the end, when God will judge all men by his Son, Jesus Christ. So, my friends, take heed to the warnings. Take heed to the chastisements. Take heed, I tell you, to the judgments that befall you now. They could be worse I mean, you could be in the damnation of hell now. But you have, in the providence of God, you have this yet another opportunity of being reconciled to Him. You have the gospel proclaimed amongst you once again. For how long? Much longer? Who knows? God alone knows. How many more times? How many opportunities? How many more hearings of the gospel will you have before He takes you out of this world? Maybe this will be your last one. Will you take heed? Will you pay heed to the warnings, the threatenings? Will you hear the word of God? Will you repent of your sin? Will you believe on His Son, Jesus Christ, that you might be saved from the present wrath of God and the wrath of God to come in that day when God judges all men? Of course, ignorance of God's law is no excuse. It's no excuse, not even in the backwoods of Afghanistan, where people have never seen a Bible or a church. They are without excuse. Ignorance is no excuse. One of the first things I was taught when I joined the military, one of the first things they told us was, ignorance is never an excuse. It's your duty to know. And under God, I would suggest to you that ignorance is no excuse for you. And doubly so, in your country, in England today, because you've had the Bible and you've had the churches for something like four or five hundred years. If ever a people were without excuse, I tell you, in all the world, it's you here in England today. You yet have Bibles, you yet have the gospel proclaimed amongst you, but still in your stubborn rebellion, in your wickedness, in your sin, in your lack of conformity to God and to His law, you will not have this man, Jesus Christ, to reign over you. But don't be thinking, my friends, that ignorance, oh, I didn't know. No, you will not say in that day, I did not know. Sin is no excuse. Not your original sin, your sinful nature, and your lack of obedience to God's commandment, which He has given to a reasonable, rational creature. And bids you, says, come now, saith the Lord, and let us reason together. Because He made you, you see, this is why I say you did not come from monkeys or apes. You never were such. God made man and woman in the beginning, in His own likeness, in His own image. Monkeys and apes, I tell you, have not got the faculty of reason. You cannot rationalize with a monkey. You cannot rationalize with an ape. You cannot rationalize even with your dog. You can feed its belly, but you cannot, and get it to do all kinds of tricks, but you cannot rationalize with your dog. Only human beings made in the image of God are given the faculty, the power of reason. And when you come to, with your reason, with your mind operating, that is, not just taking every piece of garbage laid before you in your schools and colleges and universities, such nonsense as that of evolution, but you use your mind, you put it into gear, and you think with an open Bible in front of you, and you listen to what the Creator of your reason has to say to you in His law, in those commandments. And you find that what God says is perfectly reasonable, perfectly rational. What's not rational is your sin. is your fornicating, is your murdering. It's not rational, my friends. It's your unbelief. It's the very opposite. It's madness, utter madness. Madness, I say, to the uttermost. Foolishness. That's why God says, the fool has set his heart. Not the atheist, not the secularist, not the abolitionist. The fool has set his heart. There is no God. So call yourself what you are in reality. Not fancy words, not fancy labels, but a fool who says in his heart that there is no God. A moral law given to moral creatures because that's how God made you. A moral creature. Your dog bites you in the back of the leg, it won't lose any sleep. It won't lose any sleep, my friends. It will sleep peacefully that night, just like any other night. It doesn't have a conscience. But if you wound your neighbor, you wound your fellow human being, if your conscience is operational, it will trouble you. Your conscience will bother you because you are made a moral creature in the likeness of God. All lost now. No likeness of God now. That's gone, that's shot, long gone. But you still yet have the remnants of a conscience within you that tells you when you do right and tells you when you do wrong. But that conscience, you see, needs educating. And the means of educating your conscience is the moral law of God, the commandments of God. The reasonable commandments of God given to reasonable creatures. A moral law given to moral creatures. Dictating how you should live in God's world and universe. Not as you please. Not as you please. Summarized again by Jesus. Loving God, loving your neighbor. Instead of doing the opposite, hating God and hating your neighbor. How do you hate your neighbor? You hate your neighbor because you hate God. The one follows the other. How do I hate my neighbor, you say? You hate your neighbor by stealing from him. You hate your neighbor by doing abortion. You hate your neighbor by doing euthanasia. You hate your neighbor by feeding him drugs. You hate your neighbor by not feeding your neighbor when it's in your power to do so. You hate your neighbor. It's writ large all over your society. Lies matter, you say. Lies matter, you tell us. I don't believe you.
Hey, there's a... You have a Bible, like you go.
You what? Yeah, sure.
What?
Have that one, eh? Yeah. That one, yeah? I do?
Yeah.
Okay.
They're both quite well framed on the tour.
Yeah, mother?
Yeah.
She got good eyesight?
Yeah.
She got good eyesight?
Yeah, she has.
I got a small one here.
Oh, they did my head,
that one do, eh?
Yeah.
Small one, yeah?
That's
I do?
Right.
Okay. So as I said, friends, you know, the sin is transgression of the law of God. Sin is hating your neighbor, hating God. Living contrary to God and his world. And the end of that's not good, you know. The end of that's not good, it's not good now, you know. It leaves you in the misery of sin, you know. In the squalor, in the poverty. In the misery of sin, the tide of the gospel's gone out in England. Are you a better country for that? For all your godlessness, are you a better country? I don't think so. You can't even cope with an invisible, tiny little virus. Huh? Never mind the full judgment of God. Oh, there's worse to come, believe me. Much, much worse. The day is short, the Bible says. Now is the accepted time, the day of God's salvation. A day while the door is still open, a day for men and women may yet still repent and believe the gospel. For the promise of God is salvation for those who believe, who truly believe, who repent of their sin and believe the gospel, salvation from the squalor and misery of sin, from the want of conformity to God. Thank you, my dear. Thank you. Well, and have a nice Christmas, eh?
Thank you, darling.
Yeah, and you. Thank you. So I say, friends, the promise is to faith, but only to faith. Not to works, not to religious activity. Only to faith, my friends, only to faith, believing. Believing on the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God. He's the Son of Substance. He's the subject of the gospel. Christ died for sinners. Christ died for the ungodly. Those with a lack of conformity to the law of God, the likeness of God. Faith, my friends, faith and faith alone. Grace alone. Faith alone in Christ alone. No other Savior. No other remedy. No other way back to God from the dark, dark path of sin. Jesus, crucified, dead and buried, and raised again from the dead. A living Savior. Go to Christ and He will give you light. Life, liberty. Set you free from the law of sin and death that holds you in its vice-like grip. And will not let go, only at the behest of King Jesus. Only He can break its power. Only He can set you free. Only He can liberate you. You must be born again where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. And only there, born of the Spirit of God, shall the man be born again. Cannot see the kingdom of God. Born again to eternal life. Hope that does not disappoint. Perfect righteousness restored to the likeness of God, to the love of God. Peace that passes all understanding. And the gospel, the good news, testimony of God. The testimony of His good news, sending His Son Jesus Christ into the world, and through Him that you might be saved. Might, I say, that is if you will repent, that is if you will turn, that is if you will forsake your sin, repent of it, that is, and believe in the one and only name of God's Son, Jesus Christ. For there is salvation in no other name under heaven given amongst men whereby we must be saved. Jesus is His name. And He says, except you repent, ye shall all likewise perish. Repent ye, He says. Believe the gospel. For the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent ye, and believe the gospel. While you may, we'd like to have a copy of God's Word, Bible, New Testament, offered to you, free. really no cost, no obligation to you. Like one you come and ask forward. May God bless you and have mercy. Mercy, I say, Newcastle, upon your precious, never dying soul.